بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Allah Ta'ala constructed the physical dimension of man from clay. Hence, his physical needs will all be fulfilled from clay. Whatever food it may be it greens, be it meat, be it milk, be it whatever, but all will come from the ground. His needs, be it his living, his medication, all that also will be coming from the earth. His traveling, and whatever need that you can think of, all that will come from the earth. Because this is what he was created from. When he was created and made from this, so all his needs will be found from the earth. Right. Now there is a different dimension in mankind, and that dimension is called the soul. In Arabic you'll call it the ruh. The third question that the Jews had asked was about the ruh. One was about the people of the cave, one was about the Sikandar Zulkarnain, and the third was about the ruh. So the ruh is totally different. When it came to the question of the ruh, then the answer that was given, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. It comes by the command of my Rabb. What is the ruh? It is the command of Allah. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. The creation of mankind, Allah speaks about it, when I have molded him, when I have shaped him, from the clay I have shaped him, and I have breathed into him my soul. So the soul is directly linked up to Allah Ta'ala. And the physical self is linked up to this earth. Right? Hence when it's linked up to this earth, then it will find all the fulfillment of its physical self in the earth. Right? And this physical needs will be different. The need of the eye will be something unique. The need of the nose will be something different. And the need of the ear will be different. The need of the mouth will be different. The need of the mouth cannot bring satisfaction to the ear. And the need of the ear will not bring satisfaction to the nose. What the nose requires is something good smelling, right? So that which is good smelling will not bring the satisfaction to the ear, nor can it bring satisfaction to the eye. And what is good smelling will not bring satisfaction to the mouth. So each one has got its satisfaction in a different way. The mouth got its satisfaction in one way, the ear in a different way, the eye in a different way. Each one is getting its need fulfilled in a different way, unique and independent from the other. Now the question is this, that when everybody and everything is getting its satisfaction in its own way, then the satisfaction of the soul, how does it come about? Where does the satisfaction of the soul come about? So first understand the soul itself. The soul is the command of Allah Ta'ala. It's coming from Allah Ta'ala. So in short, Allah Ta'ala Himself will be the satisfaction and the fulfillment of the soul. The more one will be absorbed in Allah Ta'ala, the more his soul will find satisfaction. And the more he's cut off himself from Allah Ta'ala, the more he will feel uneasiness. So the soul will find its deep satisfaction, its fulfillment in Allah Ta'ala alone. And the moment we drift away from Allah Ta'ala, then we will find dissatisfaction, discontentment, insecurity, depression, despondency. Now all this is a result of us not connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how we're supposed to be connecting to Him. Because the soul requires its own type of satisfaction. The eye got a way of satisfying itself. It cannot satisfy itself by a perfume. The perfume has got a way of satisfying itself. Right? It cannot find satisfaction in any other way. So the soul also will have a unique way of satisfying itself. You provide it that type of satisfaction, it will feel that satisfaction. And if you provide any other way of satisfaction, it's not going to find satisfaction. So you'll find a fight in the home, you'll find fight in the business place, you'll find a misunderstanding all around. But now, where all this is coming up from? There must be some common area, some common ground where all this is coming from. The common ground that it's coming from is that the soul is not finding its satisfaction. It doesn't find its satisfaction, it doesn't find its fulfillment. When it's not finding its fulfillment, it's fighting here, it's doing this, it's doing a lot of things. But it's doing all that just to find satisfaction. And when it's not finding that full satisfaction, then it's feeling uneasy. I did this as well, and I did this as well, I did this as well. But why am I not finding that satisfaction? So the soul has got its unique, its independent way of satisfying itself. And coming from Allah Ta'ala, coming directly from Allah Ta'ala, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, directly Allah Ta'ala connects it to Himself. مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي, it's the command of Allah Ta'ala. So it must find its satisfaction only with Allah Ta'ala. It can't find its satisfaction in any way, any other way, you try any way. It is not going to find its satisfaction. Education is not the solution. Food is not the solution. Perfume is not the solution. Woman is not the solution. Position is not the solution. Music is not the solution. Then what is the solution? Listening to music all night, but you can't find that satisfaction. You're still looking for something, searching for it. It's something missing. In food, you hosted a big party, but you're not finding that satisfaction. You build up a beautiful mansion, but you're not finding that satisfaction. You married and married over and over again. You're still not finding the satisfaction. That means you have lost something here. Why aren't you finding it? So it's got a unique way of finding its satisfaction. So the first work now, the first duty will be first to explore the soul. What will be the steps in finding the satisfaction of the soul? Like I said, the more you will absorb yourself into Allah Ta'ala, the more you will find the satisfaction, and the more you divorce yourself, Allah Ta'ala forbid, the more you will find dissatisfaction. The more you absorb yourself, the more the satisfaction. And the more you break away, you break away a little, you'll find a little dissatisfaction. But the more you break away, the more the dissatisfaction, no matter what you try. Everything else will give you a satisfaction, will give you some type of fulfillment, but for a short limit, for a short limited time. A man wanted to get married, he got married. Then he finds after a year, 2 years, 3 years, now I'm over with this, but I still don't find that satisfaction, that fulfillment. I still find the void within the heart. Within the system, there is a void still. Where's the satisfaction? I was looking for that satisfaction. Where's that satisfaction? I thought that satisfaction was in getting that type of investment. I made up that investment. I'm doing very well. But still, I don't find that fulfillment. There's something short. I felt that the satisfaction was in becoming a good, strong person, bodybuilder, muscles, muscular, etc. But I don't find it. I felt that it was in power. In power. And I came right to the top. I had so much of influence, so much of following. But I don't find the satisfaction. So where is the satisfaction? So the satisfaction is the work of the heart. You call it the soul. And the soul comes from Allah Ta'ala. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. So first we'll have to understand the soul, that it comes from Allah Ta'ala. It is going to find its fulfillment and satisfaction in the place it came from. It came from there, it's going to find satisfaction there. You came, your physical self came from the earth. Your physical self will find its satisfaction in the physical self. You need a shelter from the physical self, right? You'll find from the earth. You need food from the earth. You need drink from the earth. Everything you'll get in the earth. Why? Because that was your physical structure. When it was your physical structure, you will get all your physical satisfaction in the physical, in the material. But your spiritual satisfaction, where are you going to look for it? So it came from Allah Ta'ala. So it's going to find it from Allah. It's going to find it in Allah Ta'ala. Some times ago, there was a Jew who accepted Islam. So I asked him, what brought you to Islam? He's a professor somewhere in America. So he says, around the 60s, we were flourishing business people, flourishing and flourishing. And these Jews, you know how wealthy they are, right? They sleep in wealth, they get up in wealth, they change the markets, they manipulate, they're so influential. So, but I asked him, what turned you towards Islam? He says, no, we were so wealthy, stinking wealthy. We influence, you can influence at any level, even the law, the systems you can influence. But then, many of us around the 60s, we found a void within ourselves. We found a vacuum within ourselves. When we found that vacuum within ourselves, we thought, now what? How do we fill this vacuum? So, the in thing at that time in the 60s in America was yogism. So we went to yogism. And in that first phase of the training, we found a lot of satisfaction, a lot of happiness. But then after that first phase was ended, we discovered that it's got a satisfaction, but to a certain point. After that it's finished, it's ended. They ask you to leave out certain things and fast and whatever else. It will bring some type of an understanding. But that's not the be-all and the end-all. It is just an introduction. Like I said, the physical self, you will get some of your physical needs done and you will feel some type of satisfaction for some time. But it's not a lasting thing. So similarly, you go through this type of training, you will leave out certain temptations. When you leave out certain temptations, you will find some type of relaxation. Definitely you will find some type of relaxation you will find. But is that the answer of your problem? That's a different thing now. Is that the answer? Or you need to look for your problem, you need to look for the solution elsewhere. Everything in this world Allah Pak has created, everything has got a source. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعْدٍ. Everything has got a source. And you will have to look for the stuff in the source. You look elsewhere, you can't find it. You see this fan here, right? Or you see any appliance, electrical appliance. You will have to connect it, right? You connect it to the socket, you will get the current flowing, and you will get the light coming in. You will get the fan working. Or you'll find the appliance working, because you connected it to the right place. But if you didn't connect it to the right place, as beautiful as it may be, will you find the type of fulfillment that you are looking for? You're not going to find it. No matter what you try. You put in the best type of appliance, best type of bowl, best things you have done, you have provided, but you haven't connected it correctly. So, on account of you not connecting it correctly, you won't find that satisfaction. Now, it's so much that we have got. Like I would say, in human history, I don't think man made so much of strides and progress, whether in technology, whether in wealth, whether whatever else. But so much, I don't think man had made so much of progress. But then, the level of insecurity, the level of dissatisfaction, discontentment, fights, arguments, misunderstanding, is at the highest. You know, if this was the solution, then now we could have been the most peaceful of our days, in the most peaceful, happiest of our days. But now this becoming a trauma, a small little family, 3-4 people can't live in one home. In one home, three, four people, they can't live. They don't feel comfortable. They feel a man is crushing our space. I need my space. They say that, I need my space. Give me my space and my time. And yet, just the same person, take him 50 years down the line, and 50 years ago he was living amongst 50 people, and he was happy as ever. Now you put him, just one new person, in that crowd, and you don't find that satisfaction. Why? There's something that is missing. Now, our problem is we're looking for that missing link in the wrong areas. That plug is being put into a wrong area. It's not into the socket. When it's going to be put into the wrong place, you're not going to find the connection. So that connection has to come right. When that connection has come right, now you'll find that satisfaction. It is as easy as that. You have to plug it in the correct place for finding that satisfaction. You don't plug it in the correct place, you're not going to find that satisfaction. You may try as you want. Take the best type of antidepressants or whatever stimulizers, whatever you want to take, take it. Stabilizer, stimulizer, antidepressant, take everything. And see if it'll bring you that satisfaction. It's not going to bring you satisfaction. You have to just strengthen the dosage all the time. Each time that you go to the doctor, you have to just strengthen the dosage all the time. That's all he's going to do to you. He's not going to fix your problem up. So your problem is somewhere else. It's elsewhere. And you're looking for the solution in the wrong place. So the first thing is to understand where the problem is, number one. And that is in the soul. Then what is the procedure? How do we go about correcting this? How do we go about fixing it up? That's the second. One is to understand where it's coming from. And the second level is then how do we go about fixing it? Now the soul is so important in this whole system of yours. The soul is so important. In India they have the barat, you know, when you're going to fetch the bride. So you have a whole procession, a whole wedding procession going. 100, 200 people go to fetch the barat, they'll go and fetch the bride. All the dum-dum, the drums and the elephant and the horse in the front, the back, the lights, all that. So they got all the dum-dum going. So much of show. There's lights there, there's horses there, there's elephants. And there's people drumming away, kawali, singing, the flute is carrying on. The Baja Gala is carrying on. Everything is carrying on. Everything is carrying on. I mean, all that is the groom. So they're moving. In the olden days, they didn't have cars and trains and all that. So they move on horseback or on foot, whatever. So the whole procession, 200-300 people are going. They're going for what? They're going to fetch the bride. So the groom. So in the wedding, in any wedding procession, right, the most conspicuous and outstanding thing is the groom. On the boy side is the groom. You may have seen the boy 100 times over, but on the wedding day you want to see him again. You want to see him. Make mulaqat, make mu'anaka. There's some additional noor on the person's face, and there should be that noor, because he's filling his half iman. And if he didn't, there's something short in the person. His half iman is short somewhere. The person is not so attractive, no matter what he is, but he's not married, so he doesn't earn that type of respect. And the moment you say, no, he's married, he's respectful. Why is he respectful? Because he's completed, فَقَدِ اسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ. He's completed half his faith. So he'll have that additional glow on his face. And you want to see that glow that has just come. See, what is the glow that is old? Alright, there's glow there as well. But the man that is just married now, that glow just came onto the face. So you know, meet him. It's not a sunnah practice. And it should be discouraged. But what I want to show you that glow has come onto the man's face and you want to see him. And then ask the ladies how they go mad to see the bride. Don't they get mad to go see the bride? They want to see, they saw the girl. 101 times they saw the girl. But all the ladies, from the oldest to the youngest, want to see. I want to see also. I want to see as well. So what is it? Allah Ta'ala put an additional noor on that girl's face. That every woman wants to see the girl's face. So that point is permissible. Right? The girl saw the girl. The men saw the groom. It's alright to that point. Nothing haram. So the center of attraction on that occasion is the groom or the bride, right? Now this whole procession, this whole wedding procession is moving. Now, as they're moving to go and fetch the bride, they have to cross about 5-10 villages. Then they will reach. So en route, one person asking, bhai, ye kya cheez hai? What is this? Say, ye bharat hai. Dekhte nahi? Don't you see it's a bharat that's going? Achha, ye kiski shadi hai? Oh, dulha kaha hai? Dulha kaha hai? Where's the groom? Say, ye kahi hoga, yaha kahi hoga. It must be somewhere around. You see that man also wants to see, if he wants to see what he wants to see, he wants to see the groom. He wants to see the groom. Because everything else is the extras. The main thing is the groom. And everything else is the extra, the frills and the thrills, the fancies, the decor, everything is the extra. But the real thing in the whole procession is the groom himself. If it weren't for the groom, then there wouldn't have been any decor, any frills, any thrills, any excitement, any beauty, there wouldn't have been anything. That ornament sounds beautiful when it is in the hands of the bride, isn't it? But if it's displayed, it will look nice, but not so nice. But it's in the hand of the bride, now it looks nice. So the whole centerpiece, the center of this whole attraction is the groom himself. Now you ask the second person, bhai, oh, dulha ka hai? Where is the dulha? There was an old chacha, you know, in India. 75 years of age, every year he would renew his nikah, you know. Every year he renew his nikah. Well, Umar Isab Rahmatullah had related this incident. So they asked him, bhai, yeah, kya baat hai, you're 75, every year you're marrying again, you're repeating your reunion, you're doing your nikahs again and again. So the old chacha says, bhai, I don't need to renew the nikah, but you know when I go with the barat to go and fetch the bride, you know. So the whole bride's company, they are singing away, Dulha Bhai Aya, Dulha Bhai Aya. The groom has come. And that, you know, when they sing that the groom has come and they receive me, I feel so respected and so elated that I feel so happy. I let one entire year go in my happiness. The next year that same feeling and that crave comes again. So he is the center of attraction. The groom is the center of attraction. He's asking the second person, bhai, oh, dulha kaha gaya? Where is the dulha? Can't find him. Until now the word goes around, where is the dulha? When he asked the second, third person, now it got them very worried. Now they can't see the dulha. Where is the dulha gone? Eventually, they had to trace their footsteps backwards, about 200-300 meters away. They found him falling into a ditch. Right. So what I'm getting at, this is the place of the soul in the entire physical self. This is the place of the soul. It's like the horseman on the horse. Right? The horseman brings about the beauty in the horse. If the horse is just walking like that, it's not a beautiful thing. But the horseman, right, he brings about the glow, the beauty into the horse. So the groom brings about the beauty in the whole procession. It's not your body. What's your body? Body is not worth anything. Just remove the soul out of the body then. What's it worth? Are you prepared to pay someone 10 rands to purchase that body? No, that body is worth nothing now. What happened? What was the missing link? It was just the soul that was pulled out. When the soul was pulled out, now that body is worth nothing. So it was worth something as long as the soul was there. And the moment the soul came out, now it's nothing. I said, bye, take him. Brook Street, same Dial Road, same train, bury him, finish, kalas. So that's the end of the body. That's the worth of the body. You look after the body because the body is the conveyance. It is the transport of the soul. You can't do without it. You have to travel to India. You can't travel without the conveyance. You have to have the conveyance. But understand the conveyance and understand the rider. Otherwise you're going to mix up things and you'll lose the ride just now. One is that, and the second thing is you're going to be starving the rider, you're going to starving. You brought the horse very well, right? But the man is already dead. He starved to death. So what have you gone? So feed the soul like it needs to be fed. Feed the soul like it needs to be fed. And feed the body like it needs to be fed. So you see in this day and time, all the feeding is done to the horse. All the feeding is done to the horse. and the soul is being starved. You look at it, just balance it out. See that he is the soul, he is the rider, he is the horse. Are you balancing it up? You're not even balancing it. Forget treating the soul with much more respect, giving it much more time, much more attention. Forget that. There is absolutely no balance, there's an imbalance. When there's going to be an imbalance, then there is going to be a feeling of dissatisfaction. There is going to be a feeling of insecurity. There is going to be that feeling of depression, the feeling of despondency, this feeling that will keep you down, it will push you down. Why? There isn't that type of balance in the whole thing. So one is we need to understand the place of the soul. And after you've understood the place of the soul, now you'll have to find out what are the procedures to satisfy the soul. I showed you just now that the body, the physical self, will find its satisfaction in the physical, in the material. The ears, the eyes, the nose, all the feelings of man will find the satisfaction in the physical, in the material. Because it's made of the material. It's made of the material. Fragrance, where you get from? Woman, where you get from? From the earth, right? Food, where from? The earth. Music, etc., whatever, good sounds, where you get from? The earth. All that is from the earth. Directly or indirectly, it's coming from the earth. If you analyze it, the meat is coming from the earth. Everything is coming from the earth. So your satisfaction, your physical satisfaction, physical needs are from the physical self. And your spiritual need, that need to satisfy the soul, will come from Allah Ta'ala. If you absorb yourself into Allah Ta'ala, you will find that satisfaction. What you are looking for all these years, you will find it. Otherwise, it's that soul that is being starved. It's that rider that is being starved to death. You brought the horse very well. You brought it, mashallah, very, what a good body. Excellent body you brought into the grave. But that's it. What about the rider? What happened to the rider? What happened to the soul? So, in the grave and the hereafter, once you pass this realm, the body means nothing. The malaika want to see what is the type of soul. Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna. We want to see that. They are turning it around. We want to see the soul. We want to inspect it. What's the dimension? What's the beauty? What's the shape? What's the glitter? What's the splendor in the soul? This is what we want to see. That's what the malaika want to inspect. That body means absolutely nothing to them. That's the fodder of the earth. The earth is going to eat it. It came from the earth, it's going back to where it came from. It's the fodder of the earth. But really what they want to see is that soul. What glitter it's got, what's the beauty it's got. So the first thing is, we'll have to identify where this vacuum, where this void is coming from. And at the second level, we'll have to find where it's going to get its satisfaction. So I showed you where it's coming from, right? Where the earth itself is coming from, and where the soul is coming from, both I've explained, alhamdulillah, some detail and explanation. Now the idea is, where is it going to get its satisfaction? How and where? Hazrat Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi, he was the Khalifa of Hazrat Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi. And how we have the souk and the spheres and all that. In that zamana also, they used to have these spheres and souks. But the only difference was, in that zamana, the Hindus used to have it. They used to have all the shows and all that. Right? And they used to call it a mela. Now they have made it a souk. Right? They have made it a souk. Same Hindu thing. Pagan people of ignorance did it then, right? Show, shopping, everything they had it there. Now the Muslims are doing it, but just they changed the name, souk. But it's a Hindu thing, it's a pagan thing. It's nothing to do with Islam, it's got nothing. It's just a pagan Hindu thing, right? So anyway, Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, in his zamana, now this thing is carrying on. His sheikh is Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh is the mujaddid of the time. Like how you have Hazrat Mawlana Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah, these are all mujaddideen. They're all the people that revived deen, right? So that was in the 12th century he revived. In the 13th century these people revived. So in the 12th century, now why Sayyid Sabr Rahmatullah Alayhi hears that there is a big fear that's carrying on. So he asked Mawlana Ismail, go and see, ke koi kaam ka aadmi wahan par hai ya nahi? Is there someone that I can take some benefit out of? You know, we can put him onto the line. He is someone that you see potential in. Right. You send your man into the road, right? What do you send? Why you send him? To see where's the potential. I got this line now. And who's the potential buyer? Don't you send your man? Or you make an advertisement. You either advertise, or either you send your man on the road to see the potential. So, he's sending his man, as Mawlana Ismail Sahib, koi kaam ka aadmi waha, nikal aata to batao zara. Show me, there is one man. Okay, kaam ka aadmi ho. So anyway, Mawlana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah came back and told him, ek kaam ka aadmi to hai. You see one person, bade kaam ka aadmi hai. He is something significant, something that you should look into. Anyway, Hazrat Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah with his entire jamaat, he's come there. So, there was some discussion, and the essence of the discussion is, I want to know what you can do. Sayyid Sahib is asking this person here, what you can do. And this person asked Sayyid Sahib, what can you do? So when he asked Sayyid Sahib, what can you do? Rather than just prolonging his whole discussion, Sayyid Sahib wanted to circumvent the whole thing and make it as brief as possible. So he did this, and a fresh, unseasonal fruit had come up. He just did this. He did this again, with a sign of his hand, and there was a knife that came in. And he cut that fruit, he ate, and he passed it on to the Hindu yogi that was practicing yogism. So the yogi did the same. He did this, and he got an unseasonal fresh fruit. He got it from the unseen. He brought a knife, and he cut it, and he passed it on to Hazrat Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah. So in that level, both of them are equal. Right? They got that type of spiritual ability. And also to impress upon us, it's got nothing to do with deen. This thing has got nothing to do with deen. It's some type of a spiritual exercise that this Hindu did. He came up to the level that he could practice the same thing. And to make us understand that if someone does something supernatural, then we don't all like mad people go and follow him, that he became a buzurug. No. We'll have to look at him at a different criteria, at a different standard, we have to see him altogether. Sayyid Sahib did it, and that Hindu did exactly what Sayyid Sahib was doing. No difference. Anyway, Sayyid Sahib did this again for the second time. And a knife came. You know, a surgeon's knife came. Nashtar, they call it, I think. Surgeon's knife. He did that. And he did that for the second time, and a cup came out. So he cut himself at some place, and he filled the cup. So the Hindu did the same thing. He did this, and the knife appeared, and he did this again, and the cup came in, and he filled in blood as well, like how Sayyid Sahib did. Anyway, Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Ali dug the earth, and he buried his blood. And this Hindu did the same thing. After an hour or so, Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Ali unearthed and pulled a container, and that thing was smelling like fragrant musk. Beautiful, fragrant musk. And he asked that Hindu that you also open up and see. So that he was stinking already, it was smelling, and there was already worms inside it. So Sayyid Sahib told this person, this Hindu, you see, on the surface of this earth, both of us seem to be identical. Here, on this earth, I seem to be identical to yourself. You don't seem to be different from me, and I don't seem to be different to you. But beneath this earth, you don't have the license for the beneath this earth. When you don't have that license beneath the earth, then yours, everything is getting rejected, is getting rotten, is perishable. And mine is preserved, and you're seeing the reward of it. Mine is preserved. It's changing, and its beauty is added, its beauty is enhanced millions of times over. You want to see it all the time. You're getting attracted The smell of it is irresistible. And the more you see it, the more you want it. And yours is rejected, dejected, and needs to be thrown. And the reason is, I've got a passport for underground. And you don't have a passport for underground. When you don't have the passport, then you are rejected and dejected. I have the passport, I have the license. So the moment I'm hitting ground, and you see the acceptance. So the Hindu is asking, but Zabanehal, what is the passport? What is the passport? He says, well, the passport is the sunnah. I have got the sunnah, you don't have the sunnah in you. I have got the kalima, you don't have the kalima. You follow the sunnah, and you will get that acceptance. I follow the kalima, I will get that acceptance. It's not exclusive, it's not anybody's private property, it's not exclusive, nobody got exclusive rights to it. You say the kalima, you conform to the sunnah, you will get that acceptance. I will conform to it, I will get that acceptance. I reject it, I will get rejected. You reject it, you will get rejected. So the first thing that we need to understand here is to gain the acceptance of that soul is the conformity with the sunnah. Absolute conformity. When we say conformity with the sunnah, then our mind will go into a few things. It's kurta, libas, etc. Right? These are the few things that our minds will go into. But we will not look into the deeper aspects of the sunnah. I don't say for one moment that this is not right. In this age and time, if someone is wearing a kurta and a topi and a turban, then he needs the highest level of respect. Because at least he's identifying himself with Islam. At least he's an advertisement. He's a comfort for his other brothers, right? But then to be content and to stop at that point really is not right. A man has got wealth, you respect him, you will do business with him because he's got wealth. But he's got that wealth and he's not doing anything with that wealth. What will you say? You say, no, there's something wrong with this man. He's got the wealth, why is he not doing something? He must use that money. He must do something, invest that thing. Why is he not using? So he's got that, but he's not utilizing it. He's just showing that I've got it. But that's it. There's no progress that is made. So you say, no, this man is stupid, something wrong with him. So the first level is the sunnah. And the sunnah cannot be just confined to this. It needs to be enhanced. It needs to progress. It needs to move on. That is the sunnah. And when I say the sunnah, then this is what happens to us, is just the outer display. Now look at the outer display. The outer display, to get the outer display right, in 2 minutes you can do it. In 2 minutes you can get the outer right one time. Kurta, topi, turban, you can get it. In 2 minutes you can get it. And if you go to Turkey, Allah Ta'ala maaf kare, right? In 4 minutes you can get everything. Even the beard and everything you can get. Because like we got ready-made kurtas, ready-made topis and jubbas in our wuzu khana racks, right? You know, wuzu khanas, we've got that, all the racks and all that. And we've got jubbas there, jubbas, topis and all that. People don't have proper dressing, so they go and dress themselves in the wuzu khana, wherever they've got those racks, and they'll come into the masjid with a topi and with a jubba. They've got ready-made topis also there. They've got ready-made topis and they've got ready-made beards as well. So you go into the dress room, you put on that beard of your size, your choice, nice beard. So the beard is there, topi is there, jubba is there. You come into the masjid. My friend has seen it himself, and he tells me, even himself, he saw it. I said, how did you discover? He said, no. I liked the recitation of the Imam Sahib, so I wanted to go and meet him. So I was tracing all his footsteps, all his movements. I saw him going to one closet. The closet was so big that only one person can fit in, you know, half quarter the size of a toilet. So he was going in there. He came out, hey, no beard, no topi, fashion style, hair, you got a top and jeans. So I said, did you perform? Yeah, I performed the namaz. I'm the Imam Sahib. So in 3 minutes, the outer appearance, you're going to get it right in 3 minutes. You're going to get the beard, you're going to get the topi, you're going to get the jubba, everything you're getting. So that's the outer appearance. Right. Now the inner self, how do you fix up the inner self? That inner self, how are you going to fix it up? And what do you do to fix up the inner self? And the inner self is so important that everything that is coming out It's coming and is being valued by this inner self, you see. You know that cow, right? If you're going to be feeding it that type of feed, it's going to bring you that type of milk. Right? And if you're going to be feeding it with kachra, then you'll get that type of kachra milk. It will have that stench, it will have that smell, nobody wants to drink it. If you waste it, you have to throw that milk away. Right? But if you're feeding it with genuine fodder, then you will get that quality of milk and you will get the quality of production. So the idea is to get the inner self fixed up. You got that inner self fixed up, now it's bringing up that production. That hadith that you hear often, the Tabligh Jamaat, that the Sahabi, he gave 1 mud, 1 pound, 1 kilo, he gave in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And thereafter you give an entire mountain, then you can't equate the Sahaba. Why? Because of the quality. The quality that he has got, you don't have that quality. You bring that quality, your actions also can be increased. It can be doubled, tripled, 70, 100, 1,000, millions of times. As Hari Sabra used to say, that ek arif ki do rakat, aur ghair arif ki lakh rakat hai. Barabar nahi ho sakte. That arif who's got the recognition of Allah Ta'ala, he is just 2 rakats. And the person that doesn't have that love, that recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, million rakats is reading. But you can't equate it, you can't equate it. 2 are chalk and cheese. Totally different. So what was that additional ingredient in him? That additional ingredient in him was, he had something very special. He had something very, very special in the 2 rakats of his. He had that love that was pulsating. He had that sincerity that was there. He had that dedication that was there. So everybody wants to purchase it. Any person sees it and he wants to purchase it. So you see the difference. 2 girls, right? Not a good example to give. Right? But features are different. This one has got beauty, it's got no beauty. It's got some intelligence, got no intelligence. Right? Got some learning or no learning, right? Yeah, the man is prepared to throw 50 million rands for her. And yeah, you don't want to take her for free. But both are women, you ask the person, but she got the same things. Same things she's got, same things. Yeah, you're prepared to give 50 million. You want to live on a estate for 100 million, right? And yeah, you don't want to take her for free, why? You see that person's 2 rakats, and this person's million rakats, you can't equate it. That is, the value that he added into it. Because of the value that he added into it, therefore it picked up 2 rakats into 100 million rakats. And here his 2 rakats is being thrown back to him like a dirty rag. Do you see it? The value that is added. Now how does that value get added? I told one is the sunnah, right? Now understand the very essence of the sunnah. The essence of the sunnah again is coming to the cleansing of the soul. The soul has to be cleansed repeatedly, again and again. Repeatedly it has to be cleansed. And that is an exercise that you do right throughout your life. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi is going for his hair dress, right? So the barber sees him and the barber his face, he pulls up his face, you know. So, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi asked the khadim that is accompanying him, that if you got my money by you, he said, yeah, how much you got? 10 coins. He said, give him the 10 coins. Give him the 10 coins. Whereas he was supposed to be paid half a coin, and he paid him the 10 coins. Because Imam Shafi rahmatullahi realized that this person doesn't recognize. He says, see, my outer self and my clothing may be seeming to be disgusting in your sight, not even worth 1 rupee, right? But within this heart of mine, I've got that knowledge, even the world cannot be its price. So this person couldn't see Imam Shafi rahmatullahi, being a baba, kya janega? You're giving a monkey, you're giving it a pearl. Can you value it? Can't value it. So now this soul will have to be checked up all the time. It will be checked up. And checked up, rechecked, and revisited all the time. And how are you going to visit it? How are you going to discover your faults? You can't find your faults yourself. Because when you're inspecting yourself, you see only good. Only good. I'm the smartest person, healthiest person. So, in order to get yourself checked out, you need to go into a procedure, go for a health test, you go for a scan, you go whatever different tests you go. Now you understand, you in what waters you are, you understand yourself. But overall, when you see yourself, you look at yourself, I'm looking very beautiful. I'm looking very excellent, there's nobody like me. But after you have scanned yourself, you said, no, you've got a heart problem, you have sugar, pressure, and the last problem in the world you have got. But otherwise, without the check, without that consultation, without the scan, now you look like the most healthiest person. So you'll have to go to a system to go and see whether you are healthy spiritually or not. Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi alayhi. One night he's tossing and twisting around. So, his soul, you're talking of the soul, right? The soul is telling him, Tuta Bakhil, you are a first class miser. So he's answering, everybody got a mouth, I can't say, isn't it? If the Shaykh tells you anything, I got a mouth, I can say also something. So we think now that we've got the ability to answer, so we're smarter. What we feel? That because I've got the ability to answer, therefore I'm smarter. But even Shaitan had the ability to answer. Allah Pak told him something and he said something. And Allah Pak didn't see the need of re-answering him. مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ. After that Allah Pak says, فَخُرُجْ, get out, finish. There's no need to prolong this discussion. So now today, if anybody says and points out our mistake, our weakness, we've got a tongue to speak, we've got a mind to analyze and reason. I've been to school, I've been to university, etc. So I've got a mind of my own, I can analyze, I can reason. So why must I take what he says to me? Why must I take that? I'll come back to this incident of Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi. He saw one person, and Muad told him, you know what? Tere andar takabbur hai. So he said, no, I don't understand you. I don't think your analysis is right. He said, now these Buzurgan ad-Din, they don't argue with anybody. Unko kya matlab para hua hai? What, of what benefit will they get if they try and impress upon you? No benefit, there's no advantage. What I felt about you, I mentioned that, but if you knew what was better for you, then you could have just accepted and carried on. But now he had a tongue to speak, he had a mind to speak, he's brainy, he's intelligent, he's qualified, he's graduated, he did so many courses, so many degrees, he's got so much of intelligence. So he's not at the level to accept. After 5 years he comes up to Mulana and he says, Mulana, you know what? What you diagnosed 5 years ago was right. So Mulana said, ye to aapka khasara hai, it's your failure, ye aapki mahroomi hai. Had you accepted that 5 years ago, you would have been 5 years ahead. Now that problem has gone deep into your system, where the cancer was at the very surface level. Now it's gone to the third level. Now to take it out is a big task. And sometimes to take it out is not a difficult task. This Buzurgan ad-Din, like they make out, like they will detect the problem, Allah Pak will inspire them as well with the remedy as well. He will inspire them with a remedy, and different people, different situations, different cures. Now I'll show you two different people with the same problem, but how Mawlana approaches both people. One person comes, Mawlana. So Mawlana told him, alright, you've got pride. So Mawlana, what's the ilaj? What is the cure? So what do you do? You write 40 letters to me. You write 40 letters to me about the same problem of yours. After the 40th letter had been written, he says, Alhamdulillah, now the thing is out of my system. Right? The idea was that, you see, 40 has got a certain type of an effect. Now, in that duration, his mind was focused, you know, hey, I got this thing, I need to get it out of me. So he was focused towards Allah Ta'ala, he was focused towards his illness. Allah Ta'ala help him out. Because he was focused. You're focused on the illness. I need to get this, I need to do something about this, and I can't let this thing here overwhelm me, I can't allow this thing here to get the better over me, to suppress me. So over that duration, he got cleansed out. Right? Now look at a different situation. One, in India, the leading class, you call them Nawabs, wealthy and leading class, call them Nawabs. Nawab Chaudhary or something. So one Nawab comes to Hazrat, I will take bets. Hazrat says, alright, you know, I'll be going to a certain home, so you'll come and meet me there, inshallah, we'll take the bayat. So while I was there, he delivered the program, whatever else, so this person came with his khadim. It's a Nawab style now. So Nawab have to do everything in style. They can't just do it a simple way. Right? If it's a Nawab style that is completing the Quran, they have to do it in style. It's an ordinary person, you'll do it in an ordinary way. You have to do it in style, you have to do it. So he came with two big baskets of mitais and all that. You know, it'll be an occasion after the bayat, everything is over, I will distribute all these mitais. Now the khadim came, he left the mitai and he's gone. So Mawlana detected the problem now. He detected the problem and said, oh, main to kuch bhool gaya hoon, dusre jagah par bhi jana hai, dusre mahalla mein jana hai. I just forgot, I just slipped up. I need to go to the next street as well. Deliberately, Mawlana took the route in that street, from that point where all the people know him. They know him, they recognize him. Now the Nawab Sahib, the Khadim left the mitai and he's gone. He's got the two baskets of mitai in his hand. In the heat, he's walking. Nawab Sahib, salam. Chaudhary Sahib, salam. Everybody makes salam. He's got the mitai and he's carrying on. From that point, Mawlana brings him to the third home and the fourth home, carried on. Until then, Mawlana sees now the man is completely at ease. That pride, that ostentation, that show that was in him, to a great limit, it is smashed down. Mawlana says, hey, now I think I'm over. Now let's accept you for bayat. So the Nawab Sahib is intelligent. He says, Mawlana, I knew exactly what you were doing to me. After the bayat was over, he says, no, I know exactly what you're doing. And I know what was my problem. I know it was the pride, and I know it was the boastful attitude that I had. But Mawlana, you know what I feel? That had I been left on my own, it would have taken 50 years, and I wouldn't have got out of this. In the small gush that I made, Tabligh Jamaat big gush, you know, the small gush I made here, there, a couple of homes here, there, and whatever else, and the whole thing has subsided from me. It's gone out of the system. It's flushed out. So here Mawlana used one system to bring a solution to this person here. He used another solution for that person. What was suitable for him? Mawlana told him, do this. What was suited for him? Said, you do this. You don't bring about a solution of your own. One Nawab Sahib comes in. So Mawlana sees him. Now he's taking a broom. No, he wrote a letter to Mawlana. He says to Mawlana, you know what? I'm going to come and spend one whole chilla by you. But I will come here. Now he's living in like a Nawab. There's Nawabs and all that in India, not like our wealthy people. They got 50, 60 khadims, personal khadims. One person is doing cooking, clothing, whatever else. 50, 60 khadims, or one man has got so many people attending to him. So he says, I'm going to come and spend my one chilla here for my own khid, my own islah. But in this 40 days that I'll be here, I'm not going to bring any single khadim. All the 50 khadim that are doing my personal khidmat, I'm going to leave them at home and I will come here without any servant. I will do all my work myself. So Mawlana's letter to him was, Tum yaha aa rahe ho, Nawab ban karke ya khadim ban karke. You coming like a Nawab or you coming like a khadim? Or tum aate ho, Nawabiyat ko le karke. You coming with that Nawabi zahan of yours, Nawabi mind of yours, that you are calling the shots here, that you will come here and you will call the shots that I need to bring one khadim. I don't need to bring any khadim. So you leave your mind, you leave your understanding and your reasoning, and you will take instructions from me. And I instruct you that you come with your khadim. See that? So that was the first point. So he said, Mawlana sorted out a lot of problems of mine. He sorted out a lot of problems of mine. I thought, no, I can call the shots, I can correct myself. No, sir, no. You don't interrupt in this administration. This is not your administration, so you don't interrupt in that administration. We will correct you, we will show you what will bring that humility into you. You will not be able to detect it. You will do it, you will try and look for a correction in your own way. And the correction that will come in your own way may not be the correct thing. The one that has gone through the mill, he will be able to point out to you that what is the procedure. One person says, no, I'll come and I'll clean all the gutters in the wazukhana. I'll clean all the gutters with my hand, I'll clean it up, I'll put all the shoes right. So Mullah is saying, what? This is going to enhance all your pride. It's going to? Now what we have said, mashallah, he's coming with such a good spirit. He's a Mulana, and he's coming with such a good spirit that he is going to clean all the gutters, put everybody's shoes right and all that. And what Mullah tells him? Mullah tells him, no, this is going to enhance your pride. Your attitude is going to be enhanced. Because in your mind you say, I'm kitna muttaqi, kitna parezgar, kitna mutawadi aadmi hoon. I'm such a humble person, such a muttaqi parezgar, that I don't even mind in front of everybody to go and clean the gutters and clean and straighten everybody's shoes. See? So your mind is going to make you even more proud. You're going to have a greater attitude. So you will take instructions from above. You're not going to do it yourself. So we're talking of Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi alayhi. And now his soul, he's discussing. You may ask, alright, that Nawab was discussing himself that he will do this and you smashed him down. What about Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi alayhi? So he's reached a point where he's got an understanding. He's went under a sheikh. He's went 20 years, 15 years, 20 years under the training of a sheikh. Now he's got an understanding. So his soul is telling him, Tuta Bakhil, you are a first class miser. And he said, no, not a miser. Not at all. So now you are a miser, not a miser. So alright, challenge tomorrow is that, see this whole bundle of money that you've got, this whole money, this all these gold coins that you've got, the first needy person that you will find to be needy and deserving, you will give it to him. So now deal is on, we'll do it. Come the morning, he read the Fajr namaz and all that, and he's going to the street. As he goes into the street, so he sees one blind hafizab. You know, the blind people in India, most of them are hafizis. All of them are hafiz of the Quran Sharif, so they call them hafizi. It's like synonymous with a blind person to be hafiz. So every blind person is called a hafizi. So he saw this blind person having his hair cut. So he said, this is the right person, man. This is the right person. He's blind, and I see his clothing all kapreka, tikara, he may be a deserving person. So he's the right person, I should give this money to him. So he says, takes that whole wallet, about 20, 30 pieces of gold coin, and he says, Hafiji, I have got this as a gift for you. So the Hafiji is blind, and he says, Wacha, aisa karo, ke tumne bare achche mauke par paise le aaye, you brought the money at a very good time. I didn't have the fee to pay the baba, so pay him, pay the whole thing, give it to the baba. So now, this Bayezid Rahmatullah says that I'm wondering in my mind, does he know it's 30 gold coins? So I told him, Hazrat, you know what? This is 30 gold coins. I'm telling the baba, I'm telling this Hafiji that is having his haircut, that this is 30 gold coins. So the Hafiji turns around and said, Hamne kaha tha nahi ke tu bakhil hai. Didn't we say that you are a blind, you are a bakhil? Didn't we say that? He says, ye to andarun ka chor pakar liya. He caught the thief within. I was thinking, I'm such a great person now. And he caught the thief from within. Ke tum bakhil ho. Humne kaha nahi tha ke tum bakhil ho. Who is saying? That Hafiz is having his haircut. So anyway, he took the 30 gold coins, he was to give it to the baba. Right? Now the baba says, you see, when this Hafiji came to have his hair cut this morning, so I thought to myself that I'm going to do it purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for no other reason. Right? So is gandagi ki wajah se, main apni niyat ko nahi bigaarta hoon. For this dirt, I'm not going to change and pollute my niyat. Now, I'm sure someone knows about gold, he's going to calculate in his mind. The gold cost, gold now is about 16,000 rands, right? And he had 30 pieces of something, 30 times 15,000, all his mind-boggling figures, right? So anyway, this baba is the same. The baba is saying, when this Hafiji came this morning, So I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to do this only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So on account of this dirt, I'm not going to spoil and corrupt my intention. I'm going to keep my intention as pure as the time that this man came and sat on my seat. So that Bayezid rahmatullah says, you know, at that moment, I felt so disgusted. I felt so disgusted, I took that money and I went and threw it in the ocean. And I said to myself, Me Allah Ta'ala, jo is cheez ko apne dil se lagaye, Allah Ta'ala uska naas kar de. It's such a disgusting thing. It's brought so much of humiliation and disgrace to me. I was disgraced by the Abhiji. I was disgraced by the Baba. So if anybody takes this and attaches it to his heart, may Allah Ta'ala disgrace him. You see this. We're talking of the purity of the soul. But we want to know why we're not getting that level of satisfaction. Why we're not getting that level of fulfillment. So the attachment to the material is too much. And when you say attachment to the material, then basically the attachment to the material is in three areas. Just to make it easy, simplified, right? The attachment to the material is in three areas. One is wealth, right? You talk to anybody, investment, offshore, inshore, Uplang, this time, whatever, everybody's talking about that. Anybody, Molana, no Molana, everybody's talking about investment, right? Is it right or not right? Anything material, wealth. As though it's like a drunkenness, you know. We are drunken with that thing. That thing is just pulling us down. One friend of mine was saying, you know, that even if Munkar Nakir has to ask Mar Rabuk, you say 2 rands. That 2 rands and 3 rands is so soaked into your heart. It's so soaked into your heart, you only see money. That's the money. So the first thing that, the first material that is the challenge, is the trial, is wealth. Right? We know, we all accept that wealth, without wealth you can't carry on, continue the life. You know that. Like I told you, without the horse you can't continue. So without the wealth you can't continue. But you can't allow the horse to rule you. The horse eats up your food and say, eat my fodder. Yeah? Are you prepared for the bargain? You can't allow the horse to rule your life. The horse is the horse. It's supposed to be the khadim. It's supposed to be your servant. So the wealth is supposed to be your servant. You are supposed to be the servant of that wealth. The wealth can't rule your life. It's supposed to be a servant. Keep it as a servant. You're not supposed to be consuming it. You need to consume it. But you're not supposed to be consumed by it. So this is the first area, that is wealth. And the trial here is, the whole trial, the whole examination, the whole challenge here is, are you going to get consumed by that wealth, or are you going to consume that wealth? Are you going to control it? You say, you know, you do this, there's your limit, you're going to do this, you're not going to do this. Are you going to rule it, or is it going to rule you? You need to make up your mind, whether the wealth is ruling you, or you ruling that wealth. Why can't you make a plan? You know, we're living in this 21st century, you know, and a medical aid, you know, you can't live without it. It's so difficult. So the morale also feel, you know, this person here, his iman is already on the rocks, you know. It's already on the edge, in the block already. So he says, hey, just make istighfar and continue. Because what I can see now, if I'm going to say it's not permissible, he'll just carry on, say, make istighfar, it's not right, make istighfar and continue. Right? Because his iman is so weak. His iman is on the rock already. And he's going to say something, he's going to leave iman just now. So just to secure his iman, he'll give him a fatwa like this, that do it, make istighfar and continue with your life. So the man has been consumed with that wealth. He's drunken already. He can't see the right and the wrong. He's drunken. How are you going to explain to him? Man is drunken. How are you going to make him explain? How are you going to make him understand? They say, "Maal ka nasha to utarta nahi, sharab ka nasha to subah tak utarta hai." You're drunken. By the morning, you'll get out of the stupor, right? But that wealth, years will pass. You can't get out of the drunkenness. You can't see. The whole intelligence, your reasoning has been marred off, has been blocked off. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq.